Well, you're very welcome this morning. And we are going to start with Harvest 2025 on Irish farms all around the country. If you've been travelling, you might have seen combine harvesters and tractors on the roads and in the fields, cutting the crops and bringing them in. And some farmers are also posting on social about how their harvest is going. Overall, Harvest 2025 is shaping up to be a reasonably positive one. The weather has stayed dry, the yields have been pretty good. It's been an exceptionally early harvest with many farmers finished their work already. But as always, it is a less rosy picture when it comes to prices. Well, we'll be talking more about this shortly. But first, let's hear from Owen McLaughlin, a 23-year-old farmer from Trim in Meath, who sowed a crop of beans for the first time. Well, during the week, it was time to harvest them, and I was there.
Well, the crop, it nearly looks kind of barren, except for the beans itself. They resemble like tumbleweed you'd see in the western, so just that kind of crunchy and
it's like there's been a fire. And if you open one there, they're charcoal, they're very, very dry.
Yeah. It's like a kind of a leathery kind of jacket, and then it just falls away and it just reveals a pale, kind of creamy bean inside. There's four in this pot. Some of them go up to maybe six. But they're small enough in size. They're essentially just a tall stalk with all the leaves gone off it, and it's brown, nearly black in colour.
So the stalks look like that. I mean, they're very, very dry and burnt looking. And then the pods, if anyone knows green beans, it's kind of similar, except these are charcoal black. And they are, you can hear this now. And then inside are these cream coloured beans.
Yeah, it doesn't take much trashing at all. They're a little bit small in size, but no, they're perfect. You can even...
Can you try one? Well, they're really hard.
Yeah.
I'm going to break a tooth now. I phoned you yesterday to ask you, could I come out today to record the harvest? And you said to me, I tell you what, Ella, I'm going to go out to the field first to check if it's ready, and I'll get back to you. When you went out yesterday, what were you looking for? How do you know when this is ready?
Well, moisture, yeah, the little moisture meter in the cabot combine, and you just take a sample and crush it, and it is able to read the highest point of moisture and the lowest point, and you can tell then what moisture it is generally. At there yesterday, it was 18%, so I presume it's a little bit lower now because it is dried up. The lower the moisture, the better it stores in the shed. At the moment, I'm not particularly that fussy, as it's all, no matter what, it's getting crimped and treated safer that way. That there's no hassle with selling it.
When did you start to grow beans like this?
This is the first year, so it was a bit of an experiment. I wanted to put in a winter crop. This land is away from home, so it's just as easy to sow all at one time. You get the protein payment. It adds nitrogen to the ground, as it's a legume. And it was the better alternative to peas for that reason. And it also has a better ability to stand and for harvest. This ground, it would be in tillage a long time, so I think it's due a bit of muck this year, so it won't be particularly rich, and it seems to be done just
You're
fine.
Happy enough. Yeah, that's fantastic. Your first year doing it, where are they going to end up?
These beans will be sold for cattle feed. I sell it alongside barley I've already harvested this year.
And farmers would buy this as an alternative to buying, say, soya from South America?
Exactly, or the mixed rations from all the big co-ops. I'd be selling it in bulk instead of little bags. Do you know what kind of...
Yeah, and are more and more farmers looking to Irish-grown protein sources for their cattle, or is it just a matter of whichever is cheapest?
I would imagine it's whatever is cheapest and most convenient to the farmer, but being able to source your produce locally naturally seems more convenient to me.
Yeah, and you're not cutting down Amazon rainforests. Yeah. And there's all those issues as well, aren't there, from soya, from South America. Are you in conversion or are you organic?
I'm in second year conversion, and so next year I'll be getting my organics, full organic symbol. So I won't be putting in a winter crop this year, I'll be putting it in springtime, because you have to wait for the land to turn into the third year so that it can be claimed organic.
Why have you decided to go organic?
Being organic, you get an extra payment, so you're covering your costs even before harvest a little bit more. There's less inputs. The organic tillage system is quite simple. You just plant the crop and come back and harvest it.
Given it's your first year at this, how has the harvest gone this season then? You've never harvested these beans before.
No, I'm satisfied. To be honest, I hadn't much hope for them, because there was people telling me that they were going to be consumed by chocolate spot. But no.
What's that?
It's a disease they get that creates little black spots on their leaves and then causes the leaves to fall. It gets into the bean itself and just causes the rot. But luckily enough, it hadn't happened.
So then the question of prices. Are you forward selling? Is this already sold or are you now looking for markets?
I'm looking for markets. So I'll probably advertise once it's all safe in the shed and process be putting up on the organic trading hub or Dundeal, looking to sell a few lorry loads of beans. Then.
Yeah.
This is quite unusual for beans to be ripe this early. I know that last year there was, because I sowed it quite early, I sowed it in the end of October, but normally you sow beans in January, and there was lads last year harvesting them in November, so which is a bit late to go harvesting, in my opinion. You'd like to get it done by then.
How long is it going to take you to finish this up?
I'll be hoping between today and tomorrow.
And you'll be done.
Yeah. I do like harvesting. When it's going well, there's nothing better. But then once in a lodge crop and there's breakdowns, there's nothing worse.
We're standing in front of your combine. Just describe how it works.
If you could think about scissors on the front of the combine, and there's about maybe 100 of them. So it just cuts the stem of the crop. Well, it's gently flicked in by the reel, which is it rotates above the crop,
yep,
and into the auger, and then it's
walk back down the side of it.
It's brought along in through the feeder house,
which is underneath where you sit.
Yeah, and there's then a drum, and that drum catches the crop and rubs it against the grid. Some of the grain then goes through that grid and onto a sieves. The straw, which is what the grain is on, gets thrown up onto a moving floor. They're called walkers, and it gets tossed and shaked, and then the grain falls through the walkers and back onto the sieve, and then there's air that is blown from underneath the sieve, getting rid of all the chaff. The grain goes through the sieve and up into the tank.
So you're separating the beans from the chaff here.
Exactly, yeah.
And the beans are left over, and now you need, there's a tractor over here with a big trailer, you need to
unload
everything that you've already harvested into that trailer.
Yeah, and then it'll be drawn back home.
There's a big arm coming out the side of the combine, and out of that arm are all the beans. It sounds like rain, but there's just thousands and thousands of beans pouring into the trailer. Well, there you go. That's how farmer Owen McLaughlin's harvest has gone this summer. So how about the rest of the country? Well, here are a few voices from the field. We have Joe Warren in Wexford, Peter Lynch in Donegal, and first, John Lawler, who farms with his father, Pat, in Westmeath. They produce Kilbeggan oats for human consumption.
We had an excellent harvest this year. The yields were really high compared to the last 2 years. And the bushel was slightly lower than the last 2 years. The bushel tells you about how well the grain is filled. So it's down slightly, but you'd expect that in a year where you have a bumper tonnage per acre. So we're fortunate enough not to have to depend on the mills and the merchants for a price, as I'm sure a lot of farmers in the country are waiting anxiously to hear what sort of prices they're going to be getting at the merchants.
My name is Peter Lynch. I farm near Newton Cunningham in County Donegal. We grow winter and spring malt barley, winter barley for feed, winter wheat for feed, and winter oilseed rape for Donegal rapeseed oil. The winter malt done 2.8 tonnes the acre and the spring malt done 1.8. Both yields were back. Spring was a disaster, mostly down to aphids infecting in the springtime, and that's solely down to not having the chemicals to be able to control the aphids anymore. Both the malt passed, so there's probably a premium of 40 to 50 a tonne over feed for that. Hopefully harvesting winter wheat now this weekend, and it looks to have good potential. Winter barley averaged 3.7 tonnes the acre, which we're happy enough with, but the prices on the floor, they're talking about 175 a tonne at 20% moisture, maybe 180, but that's nowhere near where we'd need to be. In the lighter world markets, we're going to need some sort of government support. Our biggest challenges this past year have been rabbits, believe it or not, and winter barley and winter oilseed rape.
My name is Joe Warren, near Ballycarney, County Wexford. At the moment, we have finished cutting all the winter barley and malting barley. The weather has been fantastic for harvesting. However, yields have been impacted by the drought on the light soils. Extreme temperatures in early July caused this. Bushel weights have dropped. Rejection rates for malting barley have now increased. The current harvesting price being offered this year, they're below the cost of production, which makes the future of tillage uncertain if prices don't improve.
Well, thanks to Joe, Peter and John there. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dr. Siobhan Walsh, tillage editor with the Farmers Journal, and Dr. David Hobson, a tillage farmer in Meath. Siobhan and David, good morning. Siobhan, I'm going to start with you. You've been travelling around Ireland to see how Harvest 2025 has gone. Is it fair to say it's a story of an early harvest? Yields are reasonably good. Farmers are overall happy, but prices now are a separate thing.
Yeah, morning, Ella. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I think you've got it in one there. We've been travelling around the country on the Irish Farmers Journal's crop tour. And yeah, look, it's been a dream harvest as regards getting work done. And in fairness, the year gone by has been very good to get work done. We had a dry autumn, a dry spring, which is the opposite to what we've had for the last 2 years. It was very easy to get fertilisers, sprays applied during the season. Everything was done at the right time. Unfortunately, though, that dry weather continued and crops that we thought had really good potential probably lost some of that potential. So while crops yielded well, they probably didn't reach the potential that they could have reached. But overall, look, farmers are happy to get crops in, saved in good condition and at reasonably good yields. And as you said, price is the big one now. And
price is the next thing. I mean, just to get into the weather, I mean, I know that so much, I mean, it's sort of 80% the weather, really. In the UK, some tillage farmers have seen exceptionally dry conditions. And I saw there that Jeremy Clarkson posted that this year's harvest is going to be catastrophic. Is it the same here or is it very regional in Ireland how the dryness has affected the land?
Look, the UK has been hit very severely compared to us. Their weather has been much drier and much hotter. So look, we're definitely not in that case. But I think, it's been varied here. Like, we've seen higher yields definitely down the south of the country where they seem to have got more rain at the right time. Like you heard Peter there, he got 1.8 on his spring barley. That's the low end of the spring barley, but it's not uncommon. Whereas there would be some farmers that are yielding over 3 ton on spring barley. And look, 3 ton would, I suppose, be the target on spring barley. In some years, and go back to 2022 when we had a really good year, there was farmers getting up to 4 ton on their spring barley. So Peter is under half that. So definitely there are regions of the country that just after planting, they got heavy rain and then they got severe dry weather and those crops just didn't yield. There was one crop there. The dry weather came, more rain came, and a second crop grew. So you had secondary growth, and that grain is poor quality and didn't fail. It just won't weigh.
It won't weigh at all. David, one of the crops you sow is oilseed rape, and I gather it is shaping up to be one of the most successful harvests this summer in a very long time.
Yeah, so we grow oilseed rape here in County Meath, and we are experiencing probably a 30% increase in our yield compared to last year. And we've had probably the best average yield across our farm in many years. And it's probably due to the fact that we had quite a mild back end in the autumn. Crops got established early and they didn't have too much grazing from pigeons and disease. And I suppose the spring was kind to them. They had a lot of sunlight. May was probably like a record month for sunshine. And they had just the right amount of water. And so the grain fill period was really good. So
they had a good head
very
start.
Very pleasing harvest.
And I know that you have an agreement with New Grange Gold. They buy all your crop for rapeseed oil to be sold for human consumption. And prices look like they'll return a good profit for the farmer. But what about prices for the likes of wheat, barley and oats?
Yeah, so look, we've been working with Newgrange for about 8 years now, and that has definitely, you know, given us a bit more confidence in price, because we're both working together to sort of agree a sort of a price. But I suppose on the global end of things, you know, global markets are sort of on the floor, And this is mostly due to the oversupply of feed grain. So, you know, the US is experiencing potentially its biggest ever corn crop. 424 million tons of corn be produced there, and Brazil had their second biggest corn crop there harvested last spring. So that puts pressure on the overall market. We also see the EU, like the French harvest is up 30% compared to last year.
So we see that basically if a farmer has a really good yield, the problem is if everyone does, then you have a glut and then prices go down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Siobhan, exactly. Can I ask you, just to go to Siobhan there, so much of the cereals, the beans, the peas, the wheat and all the rest, they don't end up in human mouths. They're for livestock like cows. And it seems logical that Irish grown grain would be used first to feed animals here. We have about 3 million tons of cereals and oilseeds that were imported into Ireland last year, with about 2 million tons grown here. Should there be a greater emphasis on an Irish first approach to feeding livestock instead of sourcing the feed globally?
Yeah, look, you'd like that to happen. We actually import about 6 million tons of animal feed into the country. So
even
we produce
more.
Just over 2 million. And maybe 1.5 of that or a little bit more is used in animal feed, because the others used for malting or oats, whatever it is. But yes, I think we'll always need to import animal feed. We've so many animals in the country, we can't feed them all from our grain. But we need to use our Irish grain strategically. And, you know, we see the likes of Kerrygold butter. It's a premium product, and maybe we can make premium products using Irish grain. You know, instead of looking at just grass fed, maybe we can have, you know, Irish grass and Irish grain fed. And there is a demand for some of these niche products, but we need to target our Irish grain strategically, that it goes into these niche products and delivers the tillage farmer a niche product, that we're not just competing in the world market, on the commodity market, against all of these other imported grains. Because let's face it, David there on his farm is farming to stricter rules than other countries. We heard Joe Warren, I think it was, or Peter, it was Peter. He said he couldn't control the aphids on his farm because the chemistry isn't there. We're competing against countries around the world that are using chemistry that's banned in the EU for many years, and against countries that are using GM grain. And, you know, farmers in Ireland are basically farming with one hand tied behind their back. So there should be a premium being paid for grain. That's you know, we're competing against people who have much more technology to fight disease and other things and get higher yields. So you'd like a premium to be paid for that higher quality and traceable grain.
Indeed. And David, just finally, we heard there from John Lawler, who runs a very successful Kilbeggan organic oats from his farm in Westmeath. They sell their own oats direct to the public. You do obviously something similar with oilseed rape. The Irish flour market for things like bread and baking has clear potential. I mean, is this something that the government needs to get behind a lot more?
Yeah, well, I suppose like in our neck of the woods here in the Northeast, like we don't have a whole lot of added value crops. Like in the South, most of the malt and barley originates from there. And we don't have there's a very small milling sector in Ireland currently, and it's mostly for artisan bakeries, and it's mostly organic as well. But we can produce, you know, milling wheat. We import, you know, 300,000 tons of milling wheat into the country, and there's definitely scope to add value there, I think, in the future, and also just to help support our prices and alternative markets to feed, we could do with the milling sector.
And Siobhan, I suppose the limiting factor there, as it always is processing capacity.
Yeah, and look, that milling wheat and oilseed rape processing are outlined in the Food Vision Tillage Report as areas to investigate. And we need more premium markets like that. You know, the malting barley market this year now is severely impacted. So we've basically lost a big chunk of our premium markets. So that Food Vision Report really needs to be worked on. And a big thing in that Food Vision Report, and one of the first actions in it, is to give farmers to support this year and into the next 5 years as well. Because, you know, you've heard all the farmers say price is the big problem this year. So really, tillage farmers this year unfortunately need support from government.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Siobhan Walsh and Dave Hobson, for joining us this morning. And to all the farmers out there who continue their harvest over the next few weeks, best of luck in bringing the crops in.